welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you all, but I like that Jesus song. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is a song in season right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's probably going to be a little bit different tonight. But, you know, God's good with different. If you don't think so, look at your neighbor. There's very few of us that are anywhere near alike. We're pretty different. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Here's what we're going to do to begin with. And I do need to say this. We are receiving an offering. We still don't know where it's going to go. We're going to bless somebody that needs blessed in the nation of Israel, whether it's a ministry that ministers in Israel, reaches out to the Hebrew people around the world. But it is a celebration of one of the feasts. It's the first fruits, first of the wheat harvest is what this celebration is. And it's no coincidence that God saved 3,000 the first day the church was born. So, church, happy birthday. Amen. I don't know exactly how old the church is. I'm not really good with those calendars. Around 2,000 years ago, the church was born. And 3,000 souls were added to the church. And it was a time of harvest. And so we can expect the same thing now. And the Lord did command when we come before Him to celebrate the feast, to celebrate these appointed times, to not come empty-handed. And so we are going to receive an offering, and so you can just bring that anytime. You won't bother me. But if here's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the impact of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to begin, because there's people here tonight that either need a fresh filling or people that need to be filled. And it would do them good if they can hear what God has done for you concerning the baptism. And let me just give you an example. Recently, just a week or two ago, we have a family in the church that is just in major crisis. I mean, the devil is fighting them furiously. And one of the family members is in the Sunday school class, and they're getting texts. And, you know, that would used to just drive me up the wall. I couldn't hear it, but I knew they were looking at their phone. But I also know the situation, so I wasn't going to say a word because I don't know what's happening. And they're getting texts, and it's just the devil lashing out furiously. And the person said they would be just overwhelmed. And then the Spirit of the Lord would say, and they thought it was me because they don't know a lot about things yet. But as soon as they would get the text and they would read it, I would speak something that blasted the text. I had no idea what was going on. This went on for a while. Every time they'd get a text, something would come out of my mouth and they would be encouraged. They'd get another text and they would just be overwhelmed, and the Lord would speak another word. See, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, God will use you. He told His followers, He said, you don't have to worry. If you're brought before kings, you don't have to worry about the words that you say. He said, in that same hour, I will fill your mouth with my words. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not saying God can't use somebody that's not baptized in the Holy Spirit, because I watched God use my dad in the gifts of the Spirit, and he was not baptized in the Holy Ghost when he was first started being used in the gifts. But then one day he was worshiping the Lord right about where Randy's sitting, and word starts coming out of his mouth, and he went. And he went to the fellowship hall. And he started worshiping back there, and the word started coming out again. He said, well, I reckon it must be God. And he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, gloriously. And he was skeptical, to say the least. Not of other people, but that God would ever do that for him. But if there's a testimony here tonight, something that the Lord has used you by the Holy Spirit, that was very good, very good. Let's have another one.
Felt like taking her the table back, you know, and telling her to keep the money. And I knew that something was going on. I came home that night. I prayed and prayed and prayed for that woman. Well, I just got busy with things, and I thought I was going back down there. And I got busy, and I don't know what happened with the money. I know I probably gave her all the money that I was supposed to, but I started getting these text messages that I had cheated her out of some money, and it didn't offend me because I thought, well, maybe I miscounted because I left the money with her daughter. Well, I didn't get on Messenger, so I hadn't been on there for about 5 days, and I seen all these messages from her, and they kept getting more angry and more angry and more angry. And so I texted her yesterday and told her, I said, I was sorry that I hadn't seen those messages. I said, if I didn't give you enough money, I'll bring some money back down there and give it to you. We began to text back and forth and back and forth. Well, I began to share Jesus with her, and I told her how God had made a connection the minute I walked into that house. They had no furniture in the front room. I think she'd probably been selling her furniture to try to make it. To come to find out, she's a divorced woman with 5 children. I don't even know if they have enough food. I texted her at 3 o'clock this morning telling her, could she use frozen food? Could she use food? Because I've got a supply of food to take her. Her name is, I'm going to go ahead and tell you her name, is Deborah Pruitt. And she told me that when she was a child that her mother took her to church. But it sounds like she hasn't been in church for a while. But there's a connection there with me and her, and that has never happened before, where I have gone to a complete stranger like that and feel like that she's my best friend. And she does. She feels like it's somebody that I have known all my life when we've been having our texts. And it's just getting better and better and better with what. And the thing that's blessed me is, because I've been kind of standoffish and haven't been a part of things for a long time. And it just showed me how God, I still hear from God. And that unction of the Holy Ghost, when it hits you, you know, it hasn't gone away, and it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit's what it is. But I know that there's a connection, and I'm going back down there to meet her because I've never met her. It was her kids, 14-year-old little girl she looked like, that answered the door the day that I got the cabinet. But I sent her some money yesterday, and I just feel like that I'm going to start supporting her in some way to help her. She said that the money that I gave her to buy the thing was to pay for a utility bill. And so I can't imagine when you have to start selling your furniture to pay utility bills, and then you've got five little kids to... And she told me how she had lost her job during the COVID, and she's doing anything and everything she can to make money to support her family. And she said, I don't ask for help. I just try to do it on my own. And I shared with her how God, I wasn't the first person that has given her money. I was the third person that was a stranger that came to her and gave her money. So I know that God is dealing with her mightily, bringing her back into the fold and show, so God can prove himself to her. And that's what I told her. I said, God's trying to show you that he loves you and he cares where you are right now. And I'm just thankful. It's blessed me beyond measure, what's been going on between me and her. And I feel like I'm being used of God in a way that I never had before. So the Holy Ghost knows when we need to bless people, and he knows. It's complete stranger. I have no idea. And it was over a stupid sofa table that did all of this. And so I texted her last night, but I haven't checked the messenger. Well, the Lord woke me up at 3:00, and that's when I was texting her and telling her some other things the Lord put on my heart. So I don't know when I'm going down there, but I'm going down there. And I just feel like, I don't know whether she'll come to church or what, but I'll even go down and pick her up, and she lives in Broken Arrow, and go get her and bring her up here and take her home, you know, on a Sunday, just so that she can feel the presence of God and God can show her he's real and he cares about her life.
Absolutely. Amen. I'm telling you, God's reaching out to people right now in a real way. Somebody else.
So, I don't know if I can get through this without crying. I just want to say thank you to this entire family. And I mean, you guys are my family. And I'm thankful that he put me here. And I'm thankful for the heart that he gave me. And for the healing that he's given me. And it's taken place over my life. Because when I lost my mom, I didn't know if I was ever going to come out of that. I didn't want to be here anymore. But I thank God for all the healing that he's done, not just in me, but for my family and my kids, with my husband. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life. And God has always been my provider, and he's always blessed me. And I don't deserve any of it. But he blesses me. So when I'm worshiping, I can't worship him enough. I can't give him enough. I can't praise him enough. I can't love him enough. I just want to publicly tell everybody that God is good. And he's been really, really good to me. And I'm so thankful for this church.
We're thankful for you and Matt, sis. And when you came off this stage today, I didn't think you saw them steps. I thought you were going to jump off.
I don't know if I saw those steps.
Hallelujah. She was wound up. I like it. Praise the Lord. Somebody else.
Laura's getting ready. As soon as Laura's done, take it to Miss Sharon, if you would.
Well, a few weeks ago, I hit a point in my life where I didn't care if I came to church. I didn't care if I prayed, and I reached out for help. I'm so thankful for the family of God that are all there's just you guys are just always there. And I know if I needed any one of you during that time, any one of you would have come to my rescue. And so I was on vacation this last week, and Pastor Kathy told me this is something you're going to have to press through. And I grabbed hold of that. And although things didn't start changing right away, I kept reading my Bible every day because I want to stay on track with the Bible reading program, because the Lord showed me months ago that if I didn't, I was in a spirit of rebellion against my pastor. And I don't want that. I want to be in total submission to authority. So I would keep up with the Bible reading every single day. And then Saturday morning, I had went up to Mom Hooley's for the weekend, and we were on the road going somewhere. And I said, Mom, I have this thing that I do every morning. It's a routine. I listen to the Bible going down the road on my way to work. And I said, we're going to have to do this in the car. So we were sitting there listening to this, the Bible reading program. And in the book of Jeremiah, it's the Lord spoke through Jeremiah, break up the fallow ground among the thorns. And I felt like that's where my heart was. And the Lord spoke to my heart so plain, if you'll just surrender to me, I'm going to change you. And then the Lord began to show me through his word that I had some ground in my heart to constantly, that needed to be broken up. And of course, being with a mentor like Mom Hooley, the Lord really began to work on me. Just moment after moment, gradually my heart was getting softened. And we went to visit one of her friends Sunday afternoon. And when those two ladies began to pray, it was like being in the intercessory prayer room all over again. And I tell you what, the Lord came down in that room and set me free in an instant. And I have not been the same since that day. And I'm so thankful that God never gives up. And I'm here to encourage anybody at the sound of my voice tonight, if you're in that shape where you're backsliding and you feel that hardness of heart, God's able to break the ground of your heart and change you and eternally change your life and set you ablaze for his glory. Because if he's done it for me, he can do it for anybody in this room or at the sound of my voice.
Well, I took the prayer cloth over Monday that we anointed for Jatana's mother, and I gave it to her and prayed with her. And then we went over and seen her a day or two later, and she has had that prayer cloth in her hand and fell asleep, and it fell on the floor. And she had her son pick it up and put it up so housekeeping wouldn't find it. And then they took her off the morphine and put her on Lortabs, and she went to having nightmares. And so while Jatana was in seeing her, she said, find that cloth that Sharon gave me. Find that cloth. So she did. And she said, as long as she kept that cloth in her hand, she did not have nightmares.
Wow.
And I'm going to step out and say, this is a woman that does not know God. I don't think that she has been taught like I've been taught. And I know the Holy Ghost was the one that kept her from having those nightmares.
Somebody else.
I just want to say that I've been here now 5 years, and I've been saved for a total of 25 years. And when I came here, you know, I was probably in a kind of a down state. You know, I hadn't been long. I got angry with God and because of the death of my son, and I wallowed in that for probably a little over 6 years. And, you know, I thought I'd come to a place where I had just ruined my life with God because of the way that I treated him during that, those 6 year period. But I know that God has started to work on my heart. He's changed a lot of things in my life. I have longed to be slain in the spirit the entire time I've been saved. And you just can't know what it is. Because most everybody here, I mean, it happens. But for me, I've been waiting this whole time. And you begin to feel like a leper. It's like, it can happen for everybody else, but it's something wrong with me. I've made God mad somehow. But just under a month ago, we were getting ready for our men's breakfast. And I'm at home. I go to bed, and I get laid down there, and next thing you know, I start going off in tongues. Well, this went on all night long. All night long, right away up till my alarm clock went off. And so my clock goes off, and I get up. I have two clocks set. I got one shut off. My phone, I couldn't find it. It's ringing. My wife goes, "Turn that alarm off." I said, "I can't find it. I can't find it to shut it off." And I don't know what's wrong. So I get up and it's like I've been drinking all night. And so I'm stumbling all over the place. And so I jump in the shower, right? And I'm in the shower and I'm trying to clean up and I'm about to fall down in there. And I'm saying, "God, please don't let me fall down." So I don't know what's wrong with me. And so I get out of there.
You've been asking him to fall down.
And I'm still a wreck. Well, that's true. And so I get dried off and I come in and I sit down on the bed and I'm just a wreck and I don't know what's wrong. And so I just sat there on the side of the bed, unable to do anything. And so my wife has about a 7:55 alarm that went off. Her alarm goes off and she goes, "Why are you still sitting there on the bed? Aren't you going to the men's breakfast?" And I couldn't hardly respond to her. I'm still gone. And I got up at 5 o'clock. So I finally came to realize that God did what I had longed for my entire life at home in the bed. I was drunk in the spirit and I didn't know it. And I laid down and went to bed because sitting up there, I got this big crook in my neck from sitting up that long. And so it finally happened because I've cried out to God in many a prayer line and nothing ever happened. But God is so good. He decides the time and the place. And it was just so awesome when I finally figured out what was wrong.
He snuck up on you, Zan.
Yes, he did. And so I just thank God for this church. I've come a long way and I've got a long way to go. But
we all do.
I remember you came to me one Sunday. This has probably been, I don't know, 2-3 years ago. And I was over there playing and you started toward me. You were over there and you got up out of your chair and he started walking toward me and I go, "Oh no, what have I done?" Cause my pastor's coming straight at me and he bent over and told me and he said, "God said he's going to finish what he started." So I thank God for this house.
Amen. We thank God for
glory
you.
To God.
Amen. Somebody else.
I've shared this before, but some of you might not. It's been a few years ago. I went to church in Turley, there on 66th Street, and I was at the piano playing it, and we was having a saying. The church was full of people that I didn't even know, you know, and it was packed full. And these ladies come up to sing. They were standing, you know, where you're at, and so they started to sing, and the Lord said, "Go lay your hands on their back." And of course I argued with God. You know, we are to listen to him when he tells us to do something and be obedient. So it's 3 times he told me, and the 3rd time I said, "Okay." So I got up and I went over there and I got behind him and I whispered and I said, "The Lord told me to lay my hands on your back and pray for you." And of course they probably thought I was crazy. But the minute I touched him, one of them hit the floor. And I got down and ministered to her. The Lord had a word of wisdom, and I give it to her. After the singing, the man that was playing the guitar come up. He said, "Thank you for obeying God." And I said, well, it was my privilege. He said, they're sisters and they haven't spoke to one another in over 5 years.
Wow.
Said there had been something there. But he said, I felt like God broke that tonight. So we never know when God uses this, what he's, you know, what it's for, but we just need to be obedient.
Amen. Randy, would you do me a favor and share what the offering, when you bring it in for the during the feast?
The Bible says there are appointed times. And during these times, God opens the windows of heaven. I don't know if you know the story, I'm sure you do, the blessing of Abraham. Why did God bless all nations and all people through Abraham? If you understand what a covenant is, a covenant has two parts. You agree to your part, and I agree that I'm going to do the same thing for you. If you're in trouble, I'm coming. And if I'm in trouble, you're coming. And God found a man named Abraham. And he spoke to him. He says, get up out of your country and go over there. And he said, okay, Lord. And he was a man of faith. And he didn't have any children. And they wanted some children really bad. And God prophesied to him that you're going to be the father of many nations. And he held on to that promise, and he held on to that promise until all hope was gone. It says against hope he believed God. And they even tried to, you know, manipulate the hand of the flesh and we can see what a mess that turned into.
It still is.
It still is. So, God was looking for somebody that he could be in covenant with because God was going to have a son. And he was going to give his son as a sacrifice for all humanity. The Bible says that the Lamb of God, Jesus is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. God determined the price before anything started. The price was set. It was going to be the life of his son. But God wanted to find somebody who he could be in covenant with, who would be reciprocate. And through Abraham's life, he proved himself faithful to God, a man of faith. He had the audacity to believe that he could hear from God when most people are saying, you're a nutcase. You're hearing voices? Yeah, we need to put you in a straitjacket. But God had found himself a man of faith. And this man had lived his whole life believing in the word that God had given him that he's going to have many, many children. And he's past childbearing years. His wife is way past childbearing years and they both know it. And then God gives him that son, the son of promise. And Isaac was born and hope was restored. He was in covenant with God. And one day, God asked him the ultimate. He said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Could you do it? I don't know if I could do it. But Abraham had such faith in God that he took Isaac, his son, up on the mountain and prepared him as an offering before the Lord. And Isaac said, Father, I see the wood and I see the things for an offering, but where? Where is the goat or the lamb? And God said something to him. Abraham said something to God, to his son. And this word only appears one time in the Bible. We sing it, people quote it, people misuse it. But he said, Jehovah Jireh. The word Jireh only appears one time in the entire Bible. But so powerful is the word Jireh that God will provide the sacrifice. Because I'm in covenant with him and he's in covenant with me. And Abraham raised the knife to plunge it into the heart of his son and kill his only son and sacrifice unto God with his heart breaking. The son he had waited for all of his life and finally got. And God stopped him. And he said, now I know that you believe in me. Now I know. And God would provide a sacrifice right then. A ram was caught in the thicket. When we sing, when you say the word Jehovah Jireh, it was that God was going to provide a sacrifice for humanity. God was going to provide his son as a sacrifice for everything. That's what Jireh means. That doesn't mean God's going to put money in my pocket. It is so much deeper than that. Okay? This act, this one act of Abraham taking the knife and starting to plunge it into the heart of his son, so warmed the heart of God. How many thousand years was it, like 4,000 years ago? I don't know how many thousand years ago, 3,500, whatever it was. God's heart is still warm from that one act. And that's when he pronounced, he determined the blessing of Abraham. In blessing I will bless thee. All nations will be blessed in thee. I will bless them that bless thee. We have the covenant with God. We have redemption through God's son that he sacrificed because he found a man who was willing to be in covenant with him and do the same thing that he was willing to do for us. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So when it says that I will bless them that bless thee, how do we bless Abraham? He's been dead a long time. If you want to bless me after I'm gone, what are you going to do for me? You're going to bless my children. Who are the children of Abraham? Israel. They are holy unto the Lord. Israel's a mess right now. Jesus came from that line. When we bless Israel, we are blessing Abraham. And if you want to partake in the blessing of Abraham, if you want to be blessed, bless Abraham. You know why? He did it. He was the one that was in covenant with God. And that warms my heart. When you bless Israel, God will keep his word and bless you. I've seen it happen. We had, I don't want to tell the whole testimony, but a few years ago. You remember when they had a night to honor Israel? Some of us went. I remember John and Margaret was there. We went to supper afterwards, but we all sat down there and we had a night to honor Israel in Tulsa. And I don't remember what feast it was, but it was during one of the feasts. There are three feast times. There's Passover, there's Pentecost, and then there's Tabernacles in the fall. Each time is a special time when the windows of heaven are open. God's ear is especially open during these times. And this was one of those times. And I remember what had happened. I was that week, I had some rent houses. I had a bunch of move outs all at once, and it was really killing my economy. Because not only was my people not paying rent, I had to put a whole bunch of money into these houses that they tore up. And I didn't know how I was going to do it because I didn't have any extra money at the time. And one of the, I don't remember if it was our President Obama or if it was John Kerry. I don't remember which. But you remember during the end of his administration, they got real ugly with Israel. And they told him that it didn't belong to them and they needed to give it back, and they got real ugly with them. And I'm listening to it on the radio in the propane truck driving around. And I got ticked. I got downright mad. I started shouting at Obama or whoever, or John Kerry, "You don't speak for me." And I go home in a huff, and I park that propane truck at my house, and I go inside with a purpose. I didn't watch a lot of Christian TV at the time, and I still don't. A lot of that stuff is junk. But there's some good stuff on there. So I go in, and I'm flipping through the channels. And I know there's some of these messianic people on there that are Christians and Jews, and I know that they're supporting Israel. And I'm flipping through until I find one. I didn't care who it was. I didn't care if it was Jonathan Bernus. I didn't care if it was Rabbi Snyder. I didn't care. I just needed to find somebody. And I wasn't really even listening to them. I caught a little bit of it. I'm just waiting for them to flash the number on the screen, and I pick up my phone and I dial the number because I want to give. And I waited for 20 minutes on hold while they put me on hold so I could give them an offering. And so the lady comes on and she says, I want to give. I didn't have any money. I was broke. I could give her 40 bucks. I said, all I got is 40 bucks. And she says, she asked me, "Why are you giving this?" I said, "Well, I'm glad you asked because I want to tell you. I've spent all day listening to the radio and our government has been bad-mouthing Israel. And I said, I want to make a gesture. However small it is, I'm sorry it's so small, but I want to make a gesture to the people of Israel that they don't speak for me." And she said, "Oh, I understand totally." And so I gave him the money, and I go my merry way. Within 24 hours, I saw miracle after miracle after miracle. I had a person come up to me within hours of making this and says, "Hey, that red house you got over there on such and such street, I want it. I can't move in for 2 weeks, but I want to give you the rent and the deposit right now." That has never happened before. And I needed the 2 weeks to fix the place up. Not even an hour after that, I had another person come to me. "Hey, you know that red house over on so-and-so?" And I was almost done with it. I said, yeah, I need it. I want to give you the rent and the deposit right now in cash. And then Loretta's friend over in Bartlesville, her mother, they were changing out their carpet in their house. They had just moved into a new house. It was full of almost new carpet, and they wanted hardwood instead of carpet. Calls up and says, hey, we got some carpet. You want it? That's what I needed for that second house. And we go over and get it. And God, within 24 hours, had turned our whole financial situation around. And he tapped me on the shoulder. And he reminded me of the blessing of Abraham. He said, in blessing, I will bless thee. It wasn't the amount that touched God. It was the sentiment that, hey, these guys don't speak for me. I bless Israel. And that needs to be the spirit of the offering. That when you bless Israel, when you bless Abraham, God will bless you. Israel is God's chosen holy people. And God has put us together. And he's bringing us back together. And I'm so grateful for what he's doing. That out of the two, he's making one new man. There is so much revelation that we get from looking at the Jewish culture. They carried these things. And there's so much revelation of God that we get from looking at the feasts. And I'm so glad that he's bringing us back together in unity. So, this offering, they need an awakening. Blindness, the Bible says blindness in part has happened to Israel so that we could be grafted in. We're the wild olive branch that got grafted into the vine. But blindness in part has happened to Israel. And God's chosen people, a lot of them are in darkness. What does somebody who is in darkness need? They're asleep. They need an awakening. What is it that this church needs? What is it that the church in America needs? The church in America, America is in darkness. Insanity has covered our nation. We need an awakening. It's what we're crying out for. Well, our brother Israel also needs an awakening. If you want God to answer your prayer for yourself, I've found that when you pray for somebody else who has the same situation, God will take care of your situation. Has anybody ever seen that? We need to sow awakening to Israel. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for their awakening. And as we give this offering, I believe God is going to honor. I don't know where to give it, but Holy Spirit, please direct us. Show us where to give. And that's the spirit of the offering. And I believe God will turn the tide for America. And he'll turn the tide for our brother Israel. And we're going to come together. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the generosity of this people. And I thank you for my brother Israel. God, I pray that you'll awaken them. I pray that you'll use this offering in a mighty way to bless Abraham. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. I got a mic. Thank you. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. I don't know that you have to be totally angry. And if you call me to give an offering, I will not put you on hold. I just want you to know that. Praise the Lord. But we need to bless Israel. I believe that with all of my heart.
I believe if we bless Israel, God will bless us. I believe that. I believe he will turn situations around. These are appointed times. Like I said, the Pentecost is the first of the wheat harvest in Israel. And we saw 2,000 years ago, 3,000 were saved on the day the church was born. And then the Bible says God added to the church daily as many should be saved. And today I watched the Assembly of God here in town. Brother Jason, if you see this, or some of the people there at the Assembly, we bless you. We're so grateful for you. You are such a blessing, and your precious wife, Brenda, and your kids to this community. We love you, brother. But they were baptizing today at the Birch Lake. It's harvest time. And I think that's why so many people, why people are reaching out. I'm getting testimony after testimony of people that are reaching out with the gospel, preaching the gospel to people that they've never met. I mean, people that they run into in different places. And so just preach the gospel, because I'm telling you, people are awakening. And I don't know what it's going to look like. Miss Laura gave me a word during worship that what God's going to do here is going to affect this entire region. And I believe that. I believe that with everything in me. And I don't know what the awakening is going to look like. I don't know if it'll be nationwide or if it'll be pockets. You know, there's a prophecy going around. I've been hearing a few times now that it's just going to be pockets of light all across the nation. I don't know if that's what it's going to look like or if it's going to be a sweeping reformation. I don't know. But I do believe that we can be in revival. I believe that. Because anywhere God can find some people that want to be in a move of the Spirit, I believe it's available. And so I'm not going to keep you. What I'm going to do is just read a little bit of scripture just to confirm what I'm talking about right there. And then we're going to pray. And if you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you. And God's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost tonight. If you need a fresh filling, I believe God is going to give you a fresh filling tonight. I believe that with everything in me. I think all of the, I wanted to hear those testimonies because it does you as much good to hear what God has done through other people than it does to hear a sermon sometime. The testimonies are powerful. Did you have something, Aunt Margaret? Yes, ma'am. They can't hear you with this if without one. Yeah, the people online can't hear you.
Thinking, I'm serious. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have a sane mind if I hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has been with me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. Yeah. And I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. And I went to the Baptist church by myself all my life. And I would sit in church and in Texas, look down at that big choir and reading the program, This Is Worship Hour. And I'd say, well, Lord, how do I worship you? I don't know how to worship you. Anyway, long story short, John finally decided we could move home. And my daddy got saved at 54. And I thought he was so old. I worried about him, prayed about him all the time. I thought, he's 54. He's not ready to meet. I mean, 54. Hallelujah. Anyway, a couple of weeks, I mean, daddy just started devouring the word. And I would look at him and I'd think, he's got something I don't have. He has got something. He just glowed. And so I began to ask. And about, he went to the Baptist church with me about 4 weeks, and then he went to the house of prayer. And I started, you know, but I kept saying, something. He's got something. I knew it. Well, Grandma would say, well, he's been filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said, what's that? I've got Jesus. Well, I started going to church with him on off nights, and I found out about the baptism, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, I'm serious. I wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't be sane. I wouldn't be here. because lots of trouble, lots of problems, but the Holy Ghost, He'll show you things to come. He's your comforter. Sometimes when I felt like I was falling apart, He'd give me a scripture, just come up. It comes up from the inside of you, and it's what you need right at that time. And hallelujah, I'm a source, Eliabashele, it's so cool. Okay, Randy was talking about the offering, about the sacrifice, and it was a real, real bad time in our life. And John wasn't home, and I was praying one night in bed, just praying and praying. And the Holy Spirit said, "Will you give Lori to me for John to be saved?" She was about six, you know, just my baby, you know, and I just took me a while. It really took me a while to say, "Yes, Lord, I'd be willing to give her up." And then some time went on, and I was just praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, "Would you be willing to give Johnny up?" Well, Johnny was about four. He was my baby, my little blonde-headed, blue-eyed baby. And I just, more time went on and on and on. Finally, I said, "Yes, Lord, I would, because John's going to go to hell if he don't get saved, you know." So this was an all-nighter then. Anyway, a little time went by, and he said, "Would you be willing to get both of them up to see your husband saved?" Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you what I finally could say yes. You know, the prayer of relinquishment, I guess. And I could finally say yes. And then in a few minutes, I said, "But Lord, you died for John, not my babies. You're the sacrifice for my husband." I'm going to tell you, peace rolled over me. And, you know, but God wants to know how willing we are. He wants to know. But I could tell you stories all night long. I could. But what Randy talked about, the people in government going against Israel, it was Mr. Obama. And I heard it on the news. And he said, "Israel needs to go back to the 1967 borders." And I thought, oh, God, something's going to happen to America. And it did. And so, anyway, when John come home from pumping, I said, "Sit down and watch this. They're going to air it again." Sure enough, he said, "You know, they have no right to the Golan Heights, blah, blah, blah." And I mean, I'd been weeping and weeping. And John looked at me and he said, "If you want to go to Israel again, you can go." Well, the trip was 2 weeks out. 2 weeks. And so I called Billy Brim's ministry and taught Barbara Charter's sister, works for Billy, Ruby. And I said, "Ruby, is the Israel trip filled?" She said, "Oh, Margaret, it's been filled quite a while." And I said, "Well, I always joke and say I can pack to go to Israel in 2 hours. I said, will you call me if you have a cancellation?" She said, "I will, but, you know, anyway." So I just praying. She called me in less than 2 hours. She said, "Margaret, you're not going to believe this, but I have a cancellation." I said, "I believe it, Ruby. I believe it." And so she said, "But you have to get your domestic flight." So I was on my way to Israel again. And I don't know if I bless them as much as they love me. I love that nation. I love those people. And what Randy said, every time we blessed Israel, we've been blessed. Every time. Every time. And I'm trying to hurry. Years ago, Junior and Flora May, the pastors at the House of Prayer at Avant, they were going to go to Israel. And the church was getting up money for them to go. And I mean, we had almost zero finances. And so I sat there and I thought, Lord, I want to give. I want to give. And if I told you what we made, you'd be in shock. Anyway, we spend more than that on gasoline now. But anyway, I said, I don't know if I gave $5 or $10. And I had the thought at the time, maybe, Lord, you'll help me go sometime. But I want to bless Israel. Well, He's helped me go a few times. And He's, whatever we sow into the kingdom, we reap. But I just want to tell you, and some of you know our stories, but I'm telling you, I wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't have been standing here. I wouldn't have been saying if it had not been for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because he gives you the strength. He gives you the power to go through things you can't go through in the natural. He supplied needs, I'm telling you. One day I was praying. I didn't have peanut butter. I didn't have oatmeal. And the kids went to school. And I said, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have any money. And do you know a little widow lady? This was about 8:30. This little widow lady in Avant knocked on my door about 11:30. She'd never been to my house before. And she said, I was just praying. And the Lord told me to bring you this. Now, she was in her 80s. And she had two sacks of groceries. And they were commodities. Well, there was commodity peanut butter. And there was commodity oatmeal. And even something like that. I mean, hallelujah. All I can say is he's faithful. He's worthy to be praised. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He'll go with us all the way to the end. And it looks like we're almost there. Praise God. Praise God. So, here, I don't know.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. In Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that's where we're at right now, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And in verse 14 it says, but Peter, because they had just been mocked and said they were drunk, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's like Randy was saying that right now, much of Israel, and there's more Christians that are Israelis than at any point in history, but much of Israel is just completely secular. They have pride marches in Tel Aviv and different cities in Israel. They are anti-God as you can be. But the reality is, Paul prophesied, it's prophesied through the Old Testament, through the old prophets, that all of Israel is going to be saved. There's going to be an even greater harvest that's coming. What took place 2,000 years ago was the beginning of the harvest. And I don't know when this thing's going to wind up. We've been thinking it since Paul thought it was going to end in his day. I mean, it's been that way. It's been on the hearts of God's people throughout all this time that this thing's winding up. And it looks like it is now. But the reality is God's going to get them. He's going to get them all. And we can be a part of that. And we can be a part of the end time harvest. No matter if it's 1 or 100 or 1,000. It doesn't make me any difference. Or 100,000 or 1,000,000. Whatever the Lord wants us to do, I want to be all in. I pray big and then I'm satisfied with whatever God gives. It's like Joyce Meyer said one time, shoot for the stars. And if you get the moon, that's better than believing for nothing and getting it. Pray huge prayers because he's a huge God. And if you need a fresh filling, if you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you. And so if you guys begin to play some music I appreciate the testimonies. The Bible says we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And testimonies are good. I didn't hear no testagronies. That's even better. Hallelujah. I do not like testagronies. Go ahead, turn the music up. If you need a fresh filling of the Spirit, just like Miss Laura got a breakthrough a few days ago, Sunday, a week ago, and she was getting her some touch today. I'm telling you, Billy's got a gift. Billy, I want you to pray. God uses him to impart the Holy Spirit. If you need a fresh touch, just come. If you need a fresh touch, just come. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.